good to be in God's house and to be in His presence, as Brother Angelo said. This is just a church building. You are the church, and whether you can grasp that concept or not, that's between you and Jesus, but that is the truth of it. You are the church. You are what makes up the church. I'm going to ask you right now to stand to your feet, as we do every Sunday morning. We stand because it's only by the grace of God that you're able to do this week after week. There's so many times that we take things for granted, that we think that, oh, they're just owed to us. Look here, God wakes you up with breath in your lungs every single morning, and His mercies are new every single morning. But don't confuse yourself. God's made you well able. If He didn't, you wouldn't be here today. You wouldn't be standing. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank You, Father God, for every single person, Lord, that's in Your house. God, I ask You right now for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in this service. God, I thank You right now for every single person, Lord, that's under the sound of my voice. God, You know exactly who would be here. So, God, there's nobody here by accident. Lord, I ask that You'd walk down each and every single aisle. God, visit every heart. Lord, convict hearts. God, change hearts. Lord, restore hearts. God, I ask You right now, Lord, to saturate the streets of Logan County. God, for every single inmate that's in the Logan County facilities right now, Lord, I ask You right now to save them. Lord, I ask that You'd love on them. God, You know exactly where they're at right now. God, I ask that You'd do a work on their heart, Lord. And God, for every person under the sound of my voice right now, God, if they came in here hurting, Lord, if they came in sad, if they came in mad, if they came in confused, Lord, I thank You, God, that they walk out of here changed, God, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, it is a lovely, lovely week. It's been a week, if you know what I mean. And I like to preach about real things. And so with that being said, if you have a cell phone, I'm going to ask you to turn it off or put it on silent. How many of you know Pastor has got about the mental capacity of a squirrel? All right. Well, maybe not the mental capacity, but certainly the attention span of one. If I get a phone ringing over here and I get one ringing over there at the same time, I'm in big trouble because I'm split right down the middle there. But anyhow, if you've got a cell phone, if you can put it on silent or vibrate, I would appreciate that. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and we will be glad in it. Sweetheart, I'm just going to make sure you're going back there with the kids, right? Okay. Good. Good, good, good. That's why we need volunteers. I'm going to give him a moment. How many of you know sometimes you just need a moment? I have lots of moments. How many of you got lots of moments in a day you think, I just need a moment? Okay, great. I'm glad we're all folks here. I'm going to minister this week, today, on something that I don't think a lot of pastors just line up around the door to minister about, because it's a very touchy subject. We live in a very touchy world. Everybody's all into their touchy, feely, gooey feelings. And if you say the wrong thing, you'll be the devil, and that's just how life is. Everything has gotten so touchy-feely, but you know, the day that I won't just stand up here and just keep it real with you, God doesn't need me. I got one better for that than that than you. The day that you don't just be yourself, God don't need you either. He needs people to be who they're supposed to be, and He needs you to keep it real. He needs you to be the best version of you, but He needs you to keep it real. I'm going to minister today on anxiety. Amen. How many of you struggle with anxiety? Amen. Anxiety is real. There is nothing new under the sun. Anxiety was addressed in the Word of God. And so, therefore, I'm going to address it today. Let's go to Joshua chapter 1. And we're going to begin to read at verse 2. And this is at the beginning of God raising up Joshua. And it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I am about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. And I want to tell you this morning, as I was in a week and I thought, you know, I've got so much anxiety about this and that. And God brought me to this place and he said, Kelly, just as I told Joshua, get ready to cross over. Kelly, I'm telling you, get ready to cross over to the new part of your life. Now, let me tell you something. You have a choice to make. The Word of God talks about choices. It says, now you choose today what you're going to have. Are you going to have a blessing or are you going to have a curse? Are you going to have life or are you going to have death? See, every day you wake up and you choose who you're going to be. Amen? Every day. That's why the Word says, now work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Because sometimes in the middle of working it out, what you got is a scary looking thing because you're dealing with yourself. Amen. How many of you know yourself is the most cantankerous person to deal with? Amen. Amen. Great. I'm glad we're all honest today. I'm the most cantankerous person I have to deal with. She's smiling on the back. I'm glad I got you to laugh. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you're here. Get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I'm about to give you. And I want to tell you something. The places that God's going to take you, God's telling you right now today, don't be anxious about it. Don't be anxious about it. When I look at the word anxiety, it's a inward fear. It's fear turned inwards. It's a fear of uncertainty. When you really think about what you're anxious over the things you don't know how they're going to go. Amen? Look here. One thing is for certain. God's not leaving you. When that heart wants to be troubled, see, in the Word of God, it tells us. It tells us what to do with our heart when it gets troubled. What does it say, Brother Gary? It says, let not your heart be troubled. The Word tells us not to let it go there. Now, does our heart want to go there many times? Yes, it does. Many, many times it wants to go there. What we have to do is we have to get ready. Get ready. How do you get ready? You renew your mind. When that anxiety wants to come on you and makes you think of all the things in the situation that you're so worried about, the things that you don't know how they're going to go. How many of you got situations and you tear yourself up just trying to predict how the chips are going to fall? Look here. That's how life is. You're always sitting there analyzing 3 million different ways just how everything's going to go. And let me tell you something. The thing about life and the reason you should not do that is because they never, ever go how you thought they would. And praise the Lord for that, because I don't know about y'all, but I can think of some things. And if my imagination was reality, I would be in some big trouble. Because I can think of some stuff that's not even close to actually what happens. Don't be fearing things that you're not certain of how they're going to turn out. Look here. What you need to do when you get in those moments where you're afraid of stuff like that is you need to look in your life. Keisha, one of the only times I tell people to look back. Look back. Ask yourself, when was God ever late? When did he ever not show up? When did he ever not perfect the thing that had me so concerned? Amen. He has a perfect track record. You're going to have to decide today whether you're going to get ready to cross over or where you're going to just stay right where you're at. Anxiety will keep you bound. Anxiety will keep you in things that God never anticipated for you to go through. Anxiety will keep you up at night. Anxiety will keep you just in a state of paralyzed fear. Anxiety will keep you in a point where you say, no, I'm just going to settle because I'm so scared of the unknown. Look here. Call on God. Ask God, Lord, this heart right here, it wants to be anxious. God, you said you'd calm every single fear. Lord, help me. God, help me. And Lord, move. So we're looking here, and God's telling Joshua, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I am about to give to them. To the Israelites, I will give you every place where you set your foot, just as I promised. Look here. If God promised it to you, there isn't a devil in hell that can keep it from you. If God promised it to you, there isn't a devil in hell that can keep it from you. Now, here is where people get very confused. Sherry, Pastor just said, if God promised you something, there ain't a devil in hell that's going to keep it from you. I'm going to add a little thing on there because I'm going to keep it real with you. If God promised you something, every single devil in hell is going to get disrupted and into your business. When that happens, that anxiety wants to come upon you. You're going to have to stand up. You're going to have to gird up your loins. You're going to have to put on the armor of God because you're going to need every single bit of that you can get. You're going to have to stand up, woman up, man up, and you're going to have to realize that God promised it, and it's got every little demon in hell upset over that. In 2019, I said, God, what do you want me to pray? Look here, a real person on the real good track, you got to ask God, Lord, what would you have me to pray? Because I've said a lot of prayers in vain. I've thrown a lot of prayers up there to him. They didn't get answered. Why? Because I was going through the motions. The word says the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If you're going to throw prayers up there to God, look here. Don't get mad at God when they don't get answered. Think about what you're praying. One time I was walking, I was driving through the parking lot. God said, Kelly, I want you to pray over this house that I give it to you, that I give it to the church. Look here, I'm not the brightest person. Sometimes it takes me a couple times to get it right. I drive in here, Miss Virginia, put my hand out the window, and I said, Lord, if it be your will, let Parish Christian Center get this house. Kelly, God said, Kelly, that's a dumb prayer you just prayed. I just told you to pray for that thing. What do you mean if it's my will? Quit talking out of both sides of your mouth. He said, let's try it again. Got in the car, zipped through, did a replay. Lord God, help me to live and walk in faith. God, thank you for that house. Lord, you're going to deliver it to us at the right time because, God, you're never late. Lord, when I want to doubt, when I want to have anxiety about that situation, when I want to sit there and think, God, are you going to come through? Lord, help me to be a better woman for you. Anxiety will cripple you to where you can't receive the thing that God has for you. Most of what you fear does not happen. And most of what you fear doesn't happen and go down the way you think it's going to. Amen? The word said here, I will give you every place where you set your foot. The problem with today's Christian is they're afraid to move. They won't even put one foot in front of the other. You got to move. Let's go to Psalms chapter 94, verse 19. We're looking at David. I love David because he kept it real. He was out there on the deck one night and he saw a beautiful woman. He just had to have her. Look here. He was something, but he kept it real. God said, that's a man after my own heart. I love him. Was he perfect? No. Did he love God? Yeah. Was he an anxious man? Yep. Did he have a lot of trouble? Yep. See, if you think that you're going to get through life and not have some struggling, you're just misinformed. Because the word tells you, it says, in this life, you're going to have trials and you're going to have tribulation. And as we wrap life up, like birth pains on a woman, they get closer and closer together. Why? Because Jesus is coming back. So Psalms chapter 94, verse 19, and here's David, and he says, when anxiety was great within me, your comfort brought joy to my soul. Now, who in here has smoke detectors in your house? Praise the Lord. Good. If you didn't raise your hand, I want you to go get you some. I mean it. Please do. How many of you got some carbon monoxide detectors up in your house? Praise the Lord. All right. Here's my question to you. I'm going to read this verse again. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul. Your comfort brought joy to my soul. There are many times where in the hustle and bustle of a problem or a battle, I had something come over me. And at that time, I didn't know what it was. You need to know what's going on with you. You need to pray and to get to the bottom of it. There's times, Gary, that ministry gets so difficult that anxiety wants to rest on this pastor's heart that wants to fix everybody. When truth be told, many times I cannot even fix myself. We're going to keep it real today. Do you have something in that heart that says, hey, look here, check your heart. You got that anxiety and it's creeping in. The word says don't give the devil a foothold. When you allow that to just sit there, that's going to take over everything. When you have that first thought that tells you this is it, this is going to do you in, you need to be afraid of this. Things will never be the same. Everything's going to be bad. Nothing's going to work out. It's going to be it all downhill. Look here. Take every thought captive. Take every thought captive. If you can do that with your first thought that you have, God's going to help you. Look here. If you let 10 thoughts go by and you let it go willy-nilly, look here. It's never too late. What I like to encourage people in the way of thinking, Julie, it is never too late. It's never too late. Let me renege on that. The only time it's too late is if we're dead. At that point, it's too late. At any thought in your process there, take the thoughts captive. Take the thoughts captive. How do you take them captive? Well, when you start thinking this ain't going to work out, Sherry, grab onto the thought. Say, now look here. When was the last time God didn't make it work out for my good? Because his word says, and this is where you get to renewing your mind, the word says that he makes all things work out for the good of those that really love God. What you got to ask yourself is, do you really love God? Do you really love God? People think, well, God's expecting perfection out of me, so I can't go to church. I don't have the right outfit. I don't have this. I don't have that. I'm in a bad point in my life. I can't go. Look here. If you are all messed up, I want you to come up in here and sit down. If you're broken, I want you to come in here and sit down. If you're having financial troubles, I want you to come in here and I want you to sit down. If you're brokenhearted, I want you to come in here and I want you to sit down. If you've heard the worst thing from your doctor, I want you to come in here and I want you to sit down. If you're going through a marriage problem, I want you to come in here and I want you to sit down. If you've been through a painful divorce, I want you to come in here and I want you to sit down. Why? Because that's what this place is all about. You're not going to find perfection up in here. And I got news for you. You're not going to find it anywhere else in Logan County. Why? Because it doesn't exist. But what we are going to create and what we've worked very hard to create is for the ability for people to come in and sit down unjudged. I've been in ministry my entire life, and what I know works is this right here. If you'll love people, God will do the rest. If you can just love them. Why do we say that? Because look here. You ever met some unlovables? You ever been one? I've been one. I've seen some and I've met some. I have some that are in my family. No, I'm just kidding. That's what we've got going on here. And I see so many people struggling in anxiety. I struggle with that myself. that I struggle with it myself. From the leadership down, we're going to keep this real. That's the only way people get help. That's the only way people get free, is if people will just be who they're supposed to be. Amen. So David says here, when anxiety was great within me, your comfort brought joy to my soul. Look here. What I see that causes more anxiety than anything else is when people already have a heart of anxiety and they go outside of God and they look for comfort in everywhere except for God. See, the word says, your comfort brought joy to my soul. Look here. There's so many people going everywhere but God for comfort. And they never get rid of that anxiety that's great within them. Look here. People are hurting. That's what I know for fact. When we're in the deacon meeting, I say this right here. Today, we're going to have a lot of people come through the doors and they're going to be hurting in some way. Everybody is going through something that a lot of them cannot even talk about. Deacons, leaders, let's love those people today. If you're one of those people, great. Love on them. Help me love on them. When anxiety was great within me, God, your comfort brought joy to me. If you struggle with anxiety, stop stepping out of God and Christ and your salvation, looking for comfort in everywhere but Him. You're going to come up short every single time. How many of y'all like reality TV shows? It's a terrible thing for me to admit, but I love them. Little 90 Day Fiancé, all that stuff. Miss Virginia, don't look at me. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if I just let you down. I'm human. I like them things. But I was telling Dad, this guy's like, oh, my God, the pastor likes 90 Day Fiancé. I sure do, brother. I like to binge watch it, too. Anyways, with my favorite snacks the other day, my kids, I bought some chips, and I was... My mouth was watering for those chips, and I'm like, oh, yeah, this is about to go down with me and them chips in this show. Didn't get one chip. Those bullies ate every one of them. And there was a part of me that couldn't be happy that night because the chips were missing. But I was looking, and I was meditating on all the shows, and I just started clicking. And looking at all these shows. And you know what I realized? They're all sad people looking for love. Have you noticed that? All the reality TV shows. And I'm clicking on them and I'm going, oh, that one ain't never going to work out. Like, what are they thinking? Ooh, no. I use those as life lessons for Carson, and I'm like, Carson, you see this type of woman right here? Don't even think about bringing one of them home. That ain't going to work. Your mama will spit them up and chew them up and spit them out. But everybody is looking for comfort. And so many times we're looking at it and everywhere but God. Now here's a bad thing that I do. When I've got a lot of anxiety flowing, one of the things that I like to do is I like to call people and I like to tell them all about it. Now that makes me more anxious. How many of you know that? I'll call one of my sisters up and I'll be like, what do you think about da 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 da? I'm having troubles with this. And then they'll say things that I never even thought about. And then I'll hang up the phone and I'm going, ugh. Well, I wasn't worried about that until they mentioned it, but my God, I was expecting to get like 10 pounds lighter with this worry and anxiety. I just got 20 pounds heavier with this deal. You need to talk to God about this stuff. Stop talking to all these folks. I put on Facebook the other day. Stop asking people about all your business. Just talk to God about it. Why? Because people are gonna mess you up with some of the stuff that they say and think. Amen? I'm not sure what you said back there, Jeremy, but I like your hair. It matches your shirt. As long as you don't dye my godson's hair that color, we're good. Proverbs chapter 12. I get scared every time I see them come out of the van because I'm like, they know not to dye that baby's hair, right? Please, Lord. Please let them know that. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25. An anxious heart weighs a man down. You ever feel just heavy-hearted? And you feel like you got the weight of the world on your shoulders. Anxiety. When you feel like that, you need to look in that heart. Say, God, look at this heart with me. Examine it. What you're going to find there is anxiety. Many, many times. It's weighing you down. But a kind word cheers him up. Now, freely you have received, now freely give. How many of you've ever been in a store and somebody say something to you and you were having a bad day, but somebody spoke in a moment and it turned that day around for you? Amen. A few weeks ago, I'd probably at that point been working 12 and 14 hour days, just work, trying, doing stuff. And I just went and I got up in the king size bed and I just felt so heavy-hearted. Because when there's something wrong with some of my folks, what I want to do is I want to fix them. And I want to make everything better. And unfortunately, I've realized I can't do that. And I was just talking to God and I was just telling him all about it. Half the time, I'm pretty sure I'm here on this planet for personal entertainment for the Lord. Because he probably thinks I'm so crazy. And I was telling God. And all of a sudden, my phone started dinging, Brother John. Now look. Sometimes I just get ugly. Okay? And sometimes I think ugly thoughts. And I like to go to bed. I'm like an older woman. I like to go to bed early, okay? Amen. That's what I like to do. I mean, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, that's my preference. Well, if it's like 10-something, that phone started dinging. My old mean self, I said, who in their right mind? Y'all self-righteous self. Who in their right mind messages me at 10:30? There better be really something going on. I was all ugly about it. Got the phone. There's about 5 people that don't even go to our church. And they said, Pastor Kelly, we just couldn't go to bed. It was weird. It was like 5 of them. We just couldn't go to bed without telling you a couple things. We just want to tell you thank you. And God sees exactly how hard you've been working. Now, I looked at that and I said, oh my gosh, Lord, please forgive me for having a bad attitude about them texting me at 10:30 at night. Lord, I take it all back. And then it got me to thinking, you know, I have been working hard, but it's been for God, and it's all stuff that God told me to do, and God made me well able to do it. Now, look here. There are times where you're in your day, and God gives you a little inkling. Maybe he talks to you. Maybe he shows you something. Maybe you keep thinking of a person. Maybe you keep you keep seeing their face. Maybe you get on Facebook, and every time you're on Facebook, you see them. Look here. A kind word cheers them up. A lot of times people say, Pastor Kelly, you're too nice. And here's what I know, Brother Gary, is I'm not nice every day. So on my days where I'm feeling good and nice, I'm going to pour it on thick because I'm planting. I'm going to sow niceness because I'm going to have a day where I'm not feeling so nice. And I'm gonna want God to send somebody to just say something nice to get me snapped up out of that. There's a lot of times when we're anxious about something. There's a lot of times where you're walking and you just see somebody and you know they've been struggling. You know what? It wouldn't cost you hardly any time to just stop and say, hey, I see you. God sees you. Can I pray for you? Can I just tell you what a great job that you've been doing? Can I just tell you how much that you mean to me? Can I tell you what a big difference that you've made? Can I tell you how thankful that I am to have met you? Can I tell you just what a great person that you are? See, that doesn't cost you anything. But what it does for other people is it lifts them up out of something that they're struggling to get up out of. When you've got anxiety and it's full bloom, it's hard to get your mind out of that sometimes. But many times, just a word, just a smile will take you up out of that. A few months ago, I was in Van Buren, and I thought, I'm going to have to get the church van serviced. And I like to do those adult things because they always make me feel super accomplished. I thought, Dad didn't even have to nag me to get the church van service. Praise the Lord. I am going to get this church van service, and I'm going to just let everybody know about it. And I was so proud. Ugh. I remember why I don't like doing things like that. Because it takes too long. And I was sitting there for 2 hours, and I was like, ugh. And they didn't have enough chairs, and it was cold in there. They didn't have enough beverages. It was just the whole thing was wrong. And I was in my head sitting there thinking, why did I do this? I ain't never doing this again. Let somebody else do this. And God was trying to get me up out of this mood that I was in. And here comes this little lady. And there was a bunch of men sitting down. And this lady, she was probably 70, 80 years old. And all them men, ain't none of them men, asked her if she wanted to sit down. And that irritated me. Once again, self-righteous, I thought, well, these jerks, all you men, and I'm going to have to give this little lady my seat. I'll gladly do it. So I get up, let this little old lady sit down, and out of her coat pocket, like her coat, comes this dog. And I'm like, my gosh. Wow. I never saw that coming. So here comes this dog. And like, I like dogs okay. You know, like, I like one dog. And that's pretty well it, Miss Lulu. And that's because we have the same personality. And so there was this little child bench. So I sit on the bench. And I'm looking at this older lady, and I gave her my seat, and I'm all uncomfortable, and then she whips out this dog. So I thought, I'm going to be nice to this dog because God's trying to teach me something in this moment, so I'm going to behave. I'm going to be nice to the dog. I get over there, start loving on the dog or whatever. That dog just pees all over me. And I was like, oh, God, Lord, help me. Help me, Jesus, because you know I'm reaching my level of had enough. And I had been anxious that whole day. And I went in the bathroom, started scrubbing the dog pee off, went back. Somebody took my little kid chair. So then I just stood up by the lady, and she began to minister to me. And she gave me a sermon in about 30 minutes that I still think about today, and that was a few months ago. And I'm going to tell you something. If you can help other people just by opening up your mouth and planting, the word says be instant in season and out of season. Because a kind word or a life lesson to a younger woman or a younger man, that doesn't cost you anything. But what it gives is something that could never be bought. What it does is it helps us out of a moment. And what we need to do is we need to, when we're having our good days, and you know what? You're not going to have good days all the time. And try to do this stuff when you're having your bad days. Try to plant goodness and kindness in other people. It's going to help them, and it's going to help you. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 41. We're going to look at verses 9 through 13. How many of you can say, you know, God's really taken me out of some places, and I know that it was God? Sometimes we forget where God took us out of. Once we've been out of it for a while, we forget. We get a little haughty. We get a little arrogant. We get a little uppity. Look here. Pride always comes before a fall. It always does. If you're prideful, you get ready. You're about to have a face plant riding in the dirt. And it says here in verse 9, I took you from the ends of the earth, and from its farthest corners I called you. And what I want to tell you today is regardless of how much anxiety is welling up inside of you, that God called you. That calling is never going away. Your destiny is never going away. The word says that the calling of God is without repentance. Look here. All these denominations, all these things that want to put a squash on people that have done this and done that. Look here. Once again, we're not going to do that here because look here. When God puts a calling on a person's life, he never regrets that he did it. Now that person can step up and they can work in their calling. They can do their calling or they cannot. But look here. It never goes away. It never goes away. From the moment that I started pastoring here, I said, God, what we need is we need some youth pastors. Heavenly Father, I said, Kelly, be patient. Kelly, be patient. God will give you exactly what you need. And he'll give you what you need when you need it. This couple came to me. When they first started coming, they were very, very broken by some things. How many of you ever been broken? It's very unpleasant. Look here. When you're at your worst of the worst, God's still not regretful of what he gave you, and he's still not taking that calling off your life. God called you. And he called you by name. And he set you apart. And he has a purpose for your life. That ain't going away. Higher levels, higher devils. That's what you're going to get. The more that you try to answer that call and to do things in your calling, you don't think that the devil's going to mess with you. The devil's going to mess with you. Early on in my pastoring, on a Wednesday night, one day I called Brother Larry. I was telling him something. Brother Larry is one of my ledge people. When I'm about to jump off the ledge, I'm going to call him first. I had one foot on the ledge and one foot off. I said, Brother Larry, you're going to have to talk me off of this ledge. And I was telling him all the troubles. And he said, Pastor Kelly, if you think that the devil is going to let you come up in Logan County and not try to mess with you, you are wrong. You're going to have to get through this and realize that the devil is going to mess with you all that he can. And all that anxiety is building up. Look here, you don't think I know what anxiety is about? I know what it's like. I know what it's like to just have your heart pounding and you're thinking, oh my gosh, I get it. I understand it. I know what that feeling is like when you're so raw because you feel so broken, you don't think you'll ever be able to be again. I get it. I really do. But what I know is that God's word is the only thing that really works. It's the only thing that works. And he says, I took you from the ends of the earth, from its farthest corners, I called you. I want you to know that even in the middle of all your troubles, God still called you. There are times where you feel rejected, you feel abused, you feel used, you feel misunderstood, you feel betrayed, you feel all those things. God's not taking the calling back. He's not taking all the good things back from you. Look here, he knows. He's the only one that can do anything about them. And it says, I called you, I said you are my servant, and I have chosen you, and I have not rejected you. Look here, when everybody rejects you, God's never rejecting you. So much of the anxiety that people feel in life, Sherry, comes from an uncertainty of how people are going to perceive them. Let me say that again. So much of our anxiety is wrapped up in what we think other people are going to think about us. Amen. You ever worried about that a time or two? I have, many times. And the problem with that is, out of fear about what other people think, we'll do things that aren't genuine to us. You ever done something, you think, why did I do that? And then you realize, well, I did it because I thought that's what people expected me to do. Well, didn't work. Here's what I've learned. I learned it by going to restaurants with Brother Angelo for about 36 years. Every time we go to a restaurant and the waitress doesn't seem like she's happy, he'll just cut that off at the knees. He'll be like, are we having a bad day? Want to know. I came here to spend my money on food and have a pleasant experience. I want to know, first and foremost, are you having a bad day? Number one. And number two, is this yesterday's tea? That was all these two questions that he asked. I'm like, my God, we ain't getting out of here with a bunch of spit in this food. But here's the thing that we have to realize is this right here. I'm going to read on. I took you from the ends of the earth, from its farthest corners. I called you. I said you are my chosen servant, and I have not rejected you. When I get a good waitress, I really take a good look at her. And here's what I realize. That's a person serving you. Now, I've gotten some good waitresses. And I've gotten some real bad ones. Now, when I've gotten some real bad ones, here's what I've learned about people. You got to be careful when you say, how are you doing? Because you may just get one that they're going to tell you all about it. And that's going to take 30 minutes. And you didn't get your sweet tea first, so you're thirsty and you're having to hear about this. There's been many a times I've sat down with Dad, and he's ministered and preached a sermon to the lady before we ever even got our drinks. And here's what we have to realize is that this right here, a lot of how people act to us and towards us has nothing to do with us. A lot of times I thought, well, so-and-so looked at me wrong, or they were kind of short with me, and they were kind of edgy, and they kind of snapped my head off. And then I was thinking, Rocket, well, what did I do? We want to internalize that. I've lost a lot of hours of sleep worrying about what I did to one of y'all. I sat there. Here's what you got to realize. A lot of stuff we internalize, it has nothing to do with us. And I've learned something over the 3 years that I've pastored, and it's this right here, Mara. I've learned to give some people what I like to call the good old benefit of the doubt. And that has helped a whole lot. To realize that people go through things and they're having their own struggles and they're having their own anxieties and they're having their troubles. And those things don't have anything to do with us. So in a quick moment, yeah, maybe they were edgy with you. In a quick moment, yeah, maybe they were rude to you. In a quick moment, yeah, maybe they acted like they didn't like you anymore. Look here, it has nothing to do with you. They're struggling. They're struggling. Do you have the power of the Holy Spirit in that day to get them out of it? Can you stop right there and say, hey, man, you got the best looking hair today. That's what Brother Sam says to everybody. Your hair looks great. I stopped him a few times. Brother Sam, that person doesn't even have hair. We talk about keeping it real, brother. Before you give that compliment, I mean, can you please make sure they got hair? Okay? Y'all get what I'm saying. But fashion yourself. See, I read you a verse in the beginning of this message, and it said, get ready to cross over. Get ready to go over. And when you go over, I'm giving you every place you put your foot. But we're so stuck in the fear and the uncertainty that we never even move our feet because we're horrified. Look here. You're going to jump off the diving board, or you're going to get off of the diving board? What you going to do? That's what they teach the 10-year-olds at the swimming lessons. If you ain't jumping, you're getting down because you ain't going to sit there and hold the rest of them up. Decide what you're going to do. Are you going to cross over? Are you going to just continue in that stress of, ugh, I don't know if this is going to work out? Look here, if God brought you to it, it's going to work out. Hallelujah. If he didn't, it's not. Hallelujah. Very simple. Last place for me is Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Yeah. And if there's anything that makes a person weary, it's just anxiety. It says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I feel like a lot of people, what you need is just a good moment of rest. To rest in the presence of God, to rest in the knowing of God that it's going to work out, to rest in the fact that God has never let you down. He's never let your life just crumble. You may have thought it was, but he didn't allow it. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. What I want to tell you this morning, I don't know what you've heard about God. Some folks, you may not know God in here. I don't know. But what I want to tell you about God is that he's not a mean God. What I want to tell you about God is that he's a gentle God. And God even says this about his own heart. I've got a humble heart. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. We buy my little boy stuff all the time, and it never fails. If I gave one of them something red, they wanted the black one. Vice versa. It just, how it is. And they'll want to make a trade. And I'll say, okay, Carson, you can trade with Colton as long as Colton's okay with that and you're not just taking it from him. You You got to ask those things about older siblings. What I'm going to encourage you to do today is make a trade. The Word says that His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Your yoke is not easy. Your burden is not light. And you were never designed to carry it anyways. If you've struggled and struggled and struggled and you constantly find yourself in a state of worry and fear and anxiety, you can make a trade for that. I'm going to read this verse one more time. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Some of us have lived so long with the burden, you don't realize how lighter you'd be without it. It's become a natural, normal thing for you. I'm going to ask you this morning, if you want to make a trade, if you're tired of the fear and the worry and the anxiety, and you say, God, I'm open to making that exchange. I want your burden. I don't want to feel this anxiety welling up in me. God, I trust you. Lord, I believe that you can take that away and give me peace. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to pray here in just a moment. God doesn't want you feeling anxious. And I feel like I need to reiterate this thought one more time. Most of what you're worried about never happens. God will be with you in every single moment. That is the one thing that we are certain of. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, all over the place this morning, God, I speak to anxiety and I call it out right now in Jesus' name. God, I ask you right now for an exchange. God, I ask you, Lord, to take every anxious heart right now and fill it with peace and joy. Lord, I thank you, God, right now for resolve. Lord, there are situations, God, in the lives of your kids, Lord, that we're concerned about. God, we've analyzed them. We've went over them time and time again. God, we're still worried about those things. God, I ask you for resolve. God, I ask for you to move and to work and to do only what you can do, Heavenly Father. And we thank you and we call it done in Jesus' name. Amen.